Blog Talk Radio.
On the Shelly Nunchuck Show with here, my little furball co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty, and Happy New Year! And it's 2014. Man, I was just getting used to 2013. Rest in peace, 2013. Hey, 2014. Woo-hoo! Anyway, you people are just not... I mean, I wish I could videotape what Kitty is doing right now. She's so cute. I mean, you know, here I am, an adult woman, talking about my little furball co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty, but... she's kneading the blanket, and it's just so cute what she does. It's like, oh, I know. I'm all talking about ninjas and samurais, but here I am live on the show talking about my little cat who's actually kneading. And I don't know, she's actually purring. I don't know if you can hear it, but she's actually purring right now. So she's a little content kitty, and it's just something I would not change her for the world. And You know, it's just something that I had seen, and it was kind of like a little rant. Like, I try to explain when it is a little rant on my page, that there's people that go and speak about, you know, other countries and stuff and talk about, you know, abuse to animals. Well, people, nothing up in my own backyard. I got to tell you something, honestly and truthfully, what happens to cats in my own backyard, there's one cat that had its eye stabbed out, and another cat that was missing its part of its tail, and one cat had its jaw bashed in, and the lady actually helped to get fixed it, and my cat, little Jackie Chan Kitty, was running around. She was actually left behind. So all this stuff is happening in my own backyard. So when people are, like, talking about other countries, you know, talking about abuse to animals, I can't even tell you the things that I've seen myself. You know, and I don't want to go and post about what happens to other animals and such, you know, right here in America. You know, I do these things, and I'm so heartbroken when I see these videos and these pictures with animals and stuff that happen here in America. But people, believe it or not, it happens everywhere, not just in other countries. So we need to start doing stuff in our own backyard. So what I try to do every once in a while, I'm trying to, like walk around and such and see if there's any other kitties in my backyard. I haven't seen anything lately, so maybe that's a good thing, you know, no new kitties. So I guess it's really, really a good sign if I don't see any cats. In the wintertime, it's so cold up here. I can't even, I swear to God, I think I saw some penguins and polar bears. I swear to God, I think some of them were actually running around outside. It's so cold. I've got the heater on. I've got the stove on. It's so cold. I wish I had a fireplace in my place. You know, that's it. I'm moving to a nice warm place. I'm moving to Hawaii. But anyway. The thing that I want to talk about first, tonight's show is about tigers and ninjas on my special half-hour show. And just to let you know, in 2014, I will be having a great lineup of guests. Definitely we'll have more ninjas and such on the show. And I've had a great year, very much blessings, you know, and I just am so very happy, so very thankful. And the first thought off to talk about tigers and such and animals. I've always had a passion and loved animals my whole life. And as you can tell, and, you know, if you've been tuning in, I talk about my little furball, Jackie Chan Kitty. She's not a pedigree kitty. She was a stray cat, and I wouldn't change her for the world. Now, you know, doing my own research, and even though I talk about ninjas and samurais and stunt people and stuff, there's things that, you know, I look at myself. I don't always talk about it all the time. I don't post everything that I look into myself, you know, doing research about animals. But with tigers, there's over 3,000, well, there's not over, there's less than probably 3,200 tigers left in the world. And I know people probably saying, you know, about human beings and, you know, we should save the human race and such like that. It's like, yeah, of course, human beings are very important. But everybody has their own things to do, which, you know, for part of my heart, I've always loved cats. And I had came on board on WWF, you know, to want to do my little part, you know, help save tigers. And, like, even looking into, you know, more things, too, besides tigers, pandas. Now, people have said that pandas, I'm sorry, but I have a Bostonian accent, and I switch the consonants and the vowels all the time, so forgive me. If you're wondering, you know, why does she talk funny all the time? I'm from Boston. I'm not talking about, like, in the suburbs. I've lived in the inner city parts of Boston, but so, yeah, it's really thick. But about pandas, you know, learning about that where people say, oh, they don't do anything, they sit there, and if they die off, it ain't going to matter. Well, learning about pandas, especially, you know, in China, that they actually do more than people even realize. With pandas, believe it or not, their droppings help, you know, with the vegetation in the villages there, and it helps the ecosystem. So in reality, pandas from, you know, their poop, it does help the vegetation, you know, and that's something when we save the pandas, we're, you know, we're giving back and we're kind of saving in our own way. And even like, even learning about the oceans themselves, that I was looking at this picture and in the ocean, it was closer to Hawaii and there was so much trash. And I was watching about, I think it was the albatross, it was seagulls and such, and it was on this island, and I should look it up even more. And it showed that these birds were dying. And they were, like, looking at the dead birds, the photographers and the camera people. And they found the corpses of the the birds themselves. And when they went to open up, it was all plastic, like plastic caps and raisins and all that stuff. And these birds are ingesting all this trash that is out in the oceans, and they're dying from this. And they were showing baby birds dying from that, too. And it's something to really think about. When things are actions, we, you know, people are saying, oh, the Bible and all this stuff, you know, there's going to be all these, like, floods and earthquakes stuff. But the thing that I believe is, we ourselves as human beings, we're going to kill ourselves before anything that happens, because if we're killing, you know, animals and such out there, you know, that's going to affect us in the long run. So in my part, since I love the animals, you know, tigers and such and pandas or whatever, I'll try to do my best, you know, to help spread the word. Now, I'm not this big, huge, you know, actress, SAG, and all this stuff, but I'm trying to do stuff in my own way, because all the people that are successful, the people, all the ninjas and the dragons, all those people that have come into my life in the last year, which I'm very, very blessed, you know, they do their own part, and they tell me, you know, you have to do your own part in your own way. And it's good to have idols to look up to. Like, I look up to Jackie Chan and Don the Dragon Wilson and my ninja pal Stephen Lambert. Oh, my gosh, people. I've got to tell you, I'm so, so super pumped that it's just really cool that a lot of times for me growing up, and I always say, I've never wanted to be Barbie. I've always wanted to be a ninja. And for me, watching a lot of action films, you know, like American Ninja and a couple other films, I never knew really who the ninjas were. And the funny thing is, a ninja pal, who wasn't a ninja pal at the time, it's a little while back, we friended each other, and I found out he was a ninja in all these Hollywood films. He even chased Chuck Norris and stuff. My ninja pal is Stephen Lambert. And it's just so funny because the guy is very sweet, and now you're thinking because he played bad guys and bad ninjas and killing people in these films, but he's so very humble. And he's like, you know, I said, oh, you're so great and such like that. He's like, no, I'm not great. But he's just so humble, and the stuff that he does, man, he's crazy. He's cray-cray. But he's so cool, and it's just down to earth. And just seeing all the stuff that he's done, I go, man, I watched your films, and you were doing that stuff, and ever since I was a little kid watching your stuff, Stephen. And it's, I even had him on my show, and I'm going to have Stephen back on my show. And just feeling very blessed that I am myself in the midst of writing a story, which I'm going to have someone help me turn into a screenplay to get a film. And people that I actually have in mind for parts is actually Don the Dragon Wilson. You can actually even find him on Facebook page, Don Wilson. But Don the Dragon Wilson, he's one of my ninja pals, but he's actually, I think you probably consider him more probably samurai, but he's actually a living legend, and he's been in the Guinness Book of World Records 11 times because he's an international champion. I mean, he's really, I mean, it's just a man is very humble. He's very charismatic. C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A. Did I even spell that right? I know I talk funny, but just the man himself, Don the Dragon Wilson, I'm writing a pot for him, and people like, you know, you got to get the money, and people want to get paid. It's like, well, you got to start somewhere. And if you think about getting all the money and all stuff, write the story first. This is why when people are telling me, I get so overwhelmed, and I'm like, it kind of like sabotages me. So everybody's like, Shelly, you got to do one step at a time. So let me write my story first. I don't even know the name of the title, but I have ideas in my head for the story. And it's going to include ninjas, and I just saw 47 Ronin when we count Reeves, and that's where I decided I want samurais in it. And just looking at Don the Dragon Wilson, and if you really think about it, Don Wilson, whose bloodline is Japanese, I mean, come on! If you look at him, I even posted some pictures where I took this little program on the computer, and I took Don's head and put it in a samurai, you know, costume. And you can see, picture it, and I'm like, how do people not even think that Don Dragon Wilson, I mean, him of all people, could play in samurai? And that's what's really, really cool about Don. I mean, I just pictured that, and I was like, man, he could play a samurai. So I was also thinking, Jonathan Hiroshi Wilson, which is Don the Dragon Wilson's son, who Jonathan Hiroshi Wilson I had on my show before as a guest, he's going to be on the samurai team. So I'm writing all this stuff, and I'm putting all my Facebook pictures, you know, on my page with the ideas of people. So I got Team Samurai. So far, it's Don Dragon Wilson, John Hiroshi Wilson, and Team Ninja. So far, even though he's probably not going to be playing the ninja on Teen Ninjas, Douglas Wong. Now, Douglas Wong also been on my show before, and Douglas Wong, he trained Kevin Sorbo from Hercules, Lucy Lawless from Xena, Jason Scott Lee, and I think he was training Mariah Carey's husband for something. I forget what it was, but they trained a lot of people, you know, for like Hollywood and such. So Douglas, even though he's on Team Ninja, he's not really a ninja per se. I mean, I could put him in a costume, but I'm going to consider him the wise man in the film on Team Ninja. His son, Travis Wong, who really does play a lot of ninjas, and Travis, he's very much in high demand now because he's been doing a lot of things, and he was in G.I. Joe, the second one, where he's one of the red ninjas on the mountain. And if you look up Travis Wong, you'll see his great demo reel, and he's actually dressed up like a ninja, and he can play a ninja. So, of course, Douglas Wong's son, Travis Wong, is going to be on Team Ninja. So that's what I have Team Ninja. You know, they're going to be actually, you know, good and such. So having also that idea, my ninja pal, Stephen Lambert, who expert on being a ninja in all the films, doing these crazy stunts from being on top of the Statue of Liberties and Adventures of Remo Williams, chasing Chuck Norris. I mean, you got to have big cojones to be chasing Chuck Norris in a film. He's like in a dune buggy and such. And he actually played American Ninja, working with Michael Dudikoff, who I'm hoping to get on my show. And just everyone I know, a couple people have asked me about that. I think, Matt, if you hear my show, I am trying still, but give me a little time because just remember, people have lives and they're very, very busy. So be patient, and I promise you I'm still trying. So, Matt, hang on there if you're listening to my show. Matt, you know who you are out there. I know you really love the American Ninja, just like the series like I did too. So Stephen Lambert, who is a ninja, I think he's going to play a bad guy, which also the bad guy that I'm thinking of is James Woods. Now, you say James Woods, do we really have to explain who James Woods is? You just say James Woods and you're like, ah, that's how you think of James Woods, because he plays crazy bad guys, you know, those slimy bad guys. So I'd like to have them play the bad guy, and I'm actually, the way I want to cast the bad guys is actually with blonde hair. So I just recently networked with this guy, Matt. Let's see. What is his name? Matt Thompson, who actually, when I recently friended him, and how did I friend him? I forget how I friended him. But I saw his Facebook profile. A lot of people don't realize this. When, you know, people friend me, I look at his Facebook profile. And I saw that, you know, he's adorable and such, you know, blonde hair and stuff, very adorable. So I looked at it and says, there's something about him. So I went to look at it and I saw he was riding horses and he does his own little bit of stunt work. So it's like, yeah, I want to cast him as James Woods' son. So basically that's some of the idea, and I'm actually a girl I know, Jen Henze, is going to be my little sister. Johnny Crane, who's one of my first stunt guys on my show over, I think, about a year ago. Johnny Crane, who actually, he worked with Jet Li on set. He fought Jet Li on a film. And he interviewed Jackie Chan. He's been working, you know, doing stuff himself in Hollywood. So I want to cast him in the film. And then someone who's going to probably play, like, my half-older sister, Melissa Tracy, who's been on my show, too, where she's crazy. She's absolutely adorable and crazy. And, she, you know, she just – it's not just the fact of her having the blonde hair, but she can kick butt. And the funny thing is I would go to auditions with nunchucks, and Melissa would go with swords. And it's just so funny, and she's just really, really awesome. So these are the people that I'm looking to have, you know, to be put into my film. And that's something that I just want to plan on doing, you know, trying to write it. And before anybody comes to me and say, you know, you're going to market this and this and do all this, we have to remember the first step because, you know, I don't want to write a really crappy, crappy film. I want to get the story and place it out there and put it in a screenplay and make sure, you know, make sure that this is something that is just not going to be craptastic. Because if there's ways, I mean, it's possible that I could get these people for my film So I don't want to have a crappy storyline. So that's something where I'm taking my time on that, and I'm going to make sure, because I have the heart for it. I love ninjas, and like I always say, I never wanted to be Barbie. I always wanted to be a ninja. So it's something that, you know, I've got the know-how. I've studied films, and not just that. I've studied overseas films, you know, seeing with the great subtitles and watching very great action films, you know. So getting to know, you know, many different nations of ninja films, which has also given me an advantage because there's other things, too, where I'm looking at how they're doing the fight scenes, you know, like Tony Jaa, Jet Li, I mean, Jackie Chan, all those ones overseas, and I refuse to watch films where it's dubbed now. Now, when I was younger, I got a kick out of, you know, Kung Fu Theater. That was, like, way back then. But, well, if you guys don't know what Kung Fu Theater is, it was something on USA, and they played this thing, I think it was Saturdays and Sundays, and it was just these crazy, really bad kind of films. I mean, they were still awesome, and they're all right, but they were dubbed. And as a kid, you just don't realize, you know, what it's, you know, about the dubbing and stuff, and you don't realize, you know, it just looks so weird, but you get so, like, enchanted by the fight scenes, because that's what you wanted to see, because the people, the actors in the Kung Fu Theater on USA, it was awesome, and I just got hypnotized by Kung Fu Theater. So it's just, I mean, it's just so horrible just hearing, it's like hearing some people that are, like, Asian, and then it's, like, coming out of their mouth where it's dubbed. It sounds like some big, like, you know, surfer dude, and I swear to God, I forget what film was, but that's the last time I watch a film that was dubbed. It was a Jackie Chan film. Now, anybody knows, I love Jackie Chan, but when I heard this, I was like, oh, my dear God, they made Jackie sound like a big surfer dude, and I'm just like, Jackie is not a big surfer dude. He's always missed a nice guy and such like that, and I'm going, oh, this is horrible, this is never, ever again. So I swore off listening to dubbed films. I got used to it, believe it or not. I know a lot of people saying, oh, I don't want to watch the subtitle things. But it's for me. Now, hey, if I can watch subtitles films, anybody can train themselves to, you know, watch movies with subtitles, because when people say, oh, it's for me to give chances to things, I mean, it's like, oh, I don't want to do this, but give things a chance. And it's like, okay, well, let me tell you people something. You know, with subtitles in films, and you don't want to watch subtitles for whatever reasons, you know, you're missing out on really great films. You should really give them a chance. Especially, I mean, come on. If people that are interested in watching ninja films and action films, and you don't want to watch a film because it's subtitled, you know, you are missing out on a wonderful world. And it's something where even like in Bollywood films, where I tend to think that, you know, I'd rather still keep watching the subtitles, but I'm so used to it from, you know, just being used to watching the subtitles. And as much as I'm a spaz, I enjoy the subtitles. You know, I would even pay in a movie theater to see subtitles on a film rather than see something dubbed. That's just me, but, you know, give it a chance. Like when people tell me to give something a chance and be a little bit more open-minded, trust me on this. And I know, you know, you might know me in person, but subtitled films, especially action films in other countries, give it a chance, because I'm telling you, the fight scenes are tremendous. You know, anything that's overseas, I mean, like Donnie Yen's coming out with Monkey King, I can't wait to see that, because the costumes, I saw, you know, the making of the costume of the Monkey King, and they put Donnie Yen in his cast, and it was like so funny when they went to take it off of him, because there was a cast in him for the Monkey King suit. And he's just like, ugh. Like you can see it in Donnie Yen's face, and he's like, you know, because they've got to cover the nose first. And it's like, when you cover your nose, there's no holes in the nose, and you can't breathe, and they have to wait for it to like dry. And then you have to do certain sections at a time. But doing some plastering myself and being, you know, sitting there in the chair, the plaster stuff, you know, the mold and everything that they put on you, it takes a lot of work, because people have done it to me on film sets where I've played monsters and stuff too, and I really like that. And the other thing too about playing ninjas is the fact that, you know, you're covered up, and the only thing that's shown is your eyes. So for me, that's just awesome. I know people want to get recognized, you know, when they're acting and such, and they want their face seen. I got to tell you, I have a ball, you know, throwing on some ninja stuff, putting on a mask. I don't know what it is. It's the stuff that I truly love enjoying doing, you know, just playing a ninja, and here I am, writing stuff where people that I've watched the whole work my whole life, you know, not even knowing the people that I was watching, what, who was in the films, and just being all excited about all the ninjas and the samurais and stuff. And here I am, now I get to really know who the people are, and speaking to the people that are my idols, I just feel very blessed, and they're very, very humble, and I think it's teaching me a lesson, you know, about humility. So I'm just trying really, really hard. And, you know, to let you know, I will be getting back on track with more guests, because usually around the holidays, people are so busy. So 2014 is going to be tons of guests. You know, I usually have a two-hour show, and it's something, you know, it's a fun show. And for people to, you know, want to be on my show, just get a hold of me. Contact me on Facebook or my Twitter account, Shelly Nunchucks, N-U-N-C-H-U-C-K. You know, you can contact me there. Write me a message. Let me know if you're, like, you know, in the stunt business or whatever and you want to be a guest on the show. Let me know. Get at me. I'll set you up. Get you on my show. You want a little promotion. The good thing is afterwards my show is archived. So there's actually a link, and you can use it as promotion. So that's something, if you're into that and, you know, you're starting out and you want a little bit of promotion for yourself, there you go. And then you just, one step at a time, just like what I'm doing with my film, one step at a time. And, you know, anybody that's connecting with me on my Facebook or my Twitter account, just remember, you're all official ninjas. That's what I'm telling you. I'm getting more and more people on my Twitter account. Thank you to my Twits, you know, following me. Thank you very much. Anybody that's associated in my circle, you are now official ninjas. Well, if anybody has a dream, just remember, you as good as anybody else. So you go for it, and just keep that in mind, because when you have a heart and a passion to do something in your life, you just remember that. Because I've been told, I can't even tell you, people told me that I couldn't do things. So what you got to do is go out there and try to find people that are going to help you. You know, it depends on what you want to do. I know it sounds silly. Say, for instance, you want to make teddy bears or whatever it is. The one thing that I will always, always, always be supportive is people that have dreams. Because I'm a spaz and I'm crazy, and it's very hard on the internet for me to write the way I want to write. But I just want to say, you know, like myself, I've always loved ninjas and stuff, and it's like I've had to keep it quiet most of my life. In the last couple of years, I've been able to come out with, you know, what I really am. So for me, myself, all the struggles that I've gone through, anybody that's starting, you know, if they start to get into acting and they want to do stunt work and, you know, they're the younger generation, I am going to support them. I don't care if it's a boy or a girl, you know, it's something I will support. I am 100%. I will get people's backs when they have dreams. That's the one thing I'll stand up for people, because no one should be put down for a dream. And I know what things in society, what happens is we're so programmed to be a certain way, but it's kind of scary to think outside of the box, because we want security. We want to make sure we're paying the bills and the roofs over the head, which is perfectly normal. But if you go out of that in most of society and you have a dream, it's kind of that dream can look down upon. So what you got to do is you look for people, you know, that have that experience, and you have to be careful, because I went through myself, you know, trying to find people at first who I thought, you know, could help me. But sometimes I think in the entertainment business, people are selfish. People really are selfish in the entertainment business. So I had to keep looking for other people that could help me. And it's not just something what they can get from me, because it does seem in my life that, you know, I mean, I've made mistakes. I've screwed up in my life, you know, and I try to keep moving forward and learning lessons. Because we're all perfect. We're all human, I think most of the people, some people could be aliens or whatever, I don't know, but the point is, we all make mistakes, we're not perfect. I am so far from perfect, believe me, I fart, pee, and poop just like anybody else. You know, I sit in the toilet bowl just like anybody else. I put, you know, my pants on one leg at a time, and I just do things myself, you know, just like anybody else. But you got to find people that can help you, that can help you to grow. At first, you might think it's impossible, and you might be depressed, and you want to lay down in your bed. It's something. Believe me, I've gotten depressed too, and I'd be sitting here, but then I would find something, one little tiny thing, and it would get back on track. Because here I am, and I've been trying so very hard, because let me tell you, that out here, I'm up in Maine. It's so cold. It is so unbelievably cold. So I'm sitting there, Rocky is one of my, you know, influences. You know, talks funny. I talk funny. And here I am. I'm going to do the Rocky thing. I'm going to go run outside. I do not know how Sylvester Stallone did what he did in Rocky. Because I ran and I'm like getting pneumonia and stuff. And I was like, I'm getting sick. There's no way I can run in Maine like that. And I'm trying. So it's all right. So I don't want to get myself sick anymore. And I says, I'm going to have to look to see some sort of, you know, thing in my house or whatever. And I swear to God, you know what I found that's working for me? I just got it. Is Billy Blank's workout. I am not kidding you. It's a boot camp stuff. And I have to work on getting weight. But it's just something about Billy Blank's. I swear to God, it's like I put on the DVD. And so there, and there's people in there that he's working out. Of all names for one of these girls that is working on the video, her name is Shelly. And I'm going, what? And it's just so funny because it just happened to me because I have all these little weird, tiny, weird things that happen all the time. But it's like, it's actually a good thing. So I'm sitting here, he goes, come on, Shelly, you know, get down low. And Billy Blanks is like, he's making you squat. I'm going, I hate squats. Billy, what are you doing? He goes, yeah. And he's trying to turn you into a pretzel, and he's showing you about your deltoids where people, when having weights, and they have, when you're using hand weights, mostly people put them in front of you and you're standing up straight. But the really cool thing that Billy Blanks was showing me, which for me personally I need, is like how to work my upper body better. So when you're standing there with two weights, and like I said, I'm working right now without the weights, you put your hands behind you with the weights, and it's helping your deltoids in your back. And that's where I kind of need, like, underneath my arms. Because everybody wants to show the muscle off. You know how, like, when people flex and they have the muscle on the top of your arm? Well, for me, it's kind of underneath. So it's like, you know how you have that little wiggle on your arm when you're not working out? It goes wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. And you have that little waddle, like you could fly. You could flap your wings when you're actually, you know, if you don't work out. Well, that's what I have to work on more. You know, so it's like, I'm doing these things, and it's like, oh, I get it, because Billy's like, no, people, you know, they stand up straight when they're working. I was like, you got to bend your legs, and he's like doing all these things. I was like, I'm not even using weights yet. I'm going, oh, Billy Blanks, you're turning me into a pretzel. And I'm like, oh, my God. So then he's in the video, and he's like, he's having people squat. He goes over, and he's like, he's just making me laugh, and I'm trying to concentrate on his workout. He goes, sits on this guy's like, he's going to squat down there. And he's all smiling, and he's all sweating, and it shows these people sweating. You know, you're sweating, and I go, wow, they're really showing them, like, their shirts are getting soaking wet. So then he goes over, right, and he goes, and he has a weight in his hand, and I don't know what is about Billy Blanks, but he's so funny. So he goes over to, like, the girl, I think it's Shelly again, and he's like, yeah, and you're going to squeeze your buttocks. I'm going, he's crazy. So then he takes this weight, and he goes, yeah, with your butt, squeeze them. I can't even. I'm so sorry, but this is so funny when I saw it. You have to see it to understand what I'm talking about. But Billy Blanks go over, put a weight near the girl's butt, says, yeah, and you're going to take your butts and you're going to squeeze that weight. And I just, like, start laughing. And it's like, here I am trying to be all serious and working out. And it's just really cool because he has this awesome, you know, warm-up and warming down. And when he's warming up, he goes, yeah, and how are you feeling the warm-up? I'm going, that's a warm-up. I'm like, oh, my God, Billy Blanks is going to kill me with this boot camp workout. So I'm sitting here having a ball. So I found that something that works for me. And the funny thing is, you know, when you don't have money and you kind of, like, wish you had something. At work, I want a gift certificate, a $50 gift certificate to a department store. And I go, I wish I had money for some jeans. I wish I had, you know, money for a little bit of workout equipment or something because I'm trying to make myself feel better and I want to look good. It's not the fact of having the most expensive jeans. It's just something new for myself. So I want a $50 gift certificate to a department store, and I ended up getting a couple pair of jeans, and I was walking home the whole entire store. The thing that hit me, fitness. So I ran, and I was like with my friend Jen, and I was like, Jen, where's the fitness part of the store? So I went to it, and it's like, no one's in the fitness part of the store. And I was like, yes, I won't feel overcrowded, because I swear to God, if you ever go shopping, I don't know what it is with me, but even for kitty litter, there's no one in the aisle. All of a sudden, I'm in the aisle getting kitty litter. All of a sudden, boom, someone out of the woodwork comes up to me and is right up my butt. And I'm like, I'm just looking at kitty litter. I don't know what it is, but it's like, where'd you come from? And they're standing. I'm not talking about, you know, a few feet away, standing by my side. And I swear to God, I'm going to take my big brother Z, his idea. What I'm going to do is put a belt on, and when someone gets close to you, I'm going to go, back up. You know, like when you're in an aisle, I'm just trying to check prices. This is why I don't like to go to stores in the first place. I go online because I have panic attacks in the stores. I just cannot handle shopping. I know I'm a woman, but I hate shopping, like, with a passion. I'd rather do it, you know, online. So there I was. No one's in the aisle of the fitness, and I'm going, oh, this is wonderful. And I was just saying, I wonder if they have an electronic ab belt. I know this sounds nuts, but if you ever know what an electronic ab belt is, you wrap it around you, and you turn it up, and it gives you electric shots, stimulation. And people like, no, Shelly, that doesn't work. I said, yeah, I like turning it up and getting all these shots. And people like, you're going to get electrocuted. I go, no, you don't understand. And I'm sitting at a desk job all day, like the 9 to 10 hours. And yes, believe it or not, people, my full-time job is a desk job. Kill me. You know, sitting here, it does give you a stimulation. People are going to think I'm off my rocker. But you got to remember, not everything works for everybody. This is something that works for me personally. And I was looking for electronic ab belts, and it's like, well, it's not in there. And all of a sudden, I see a box, and there's fitness things. There's other things, yoga and all this stuff. And I was like, I'm trying to look for the restraints, the rubber bands that, you know, I don't know the correct terms of them. I call them rubber bands, but they're restraints where it's this big, you know, has like a handle and has a rubber band restraints. It's good for you for toning. So it had a Billy Blanks boot camp workout. And I was like, well, this is kind of interesting. And it has, you know, the elastic bands in them, the restraints. I said, all right, I'll get this. Very happy. And on top of that, I get a brand new ninja shirt. I was very, very happy. And I wore my ninja t-shirt out to New Year's Eve last night, and I had a ball. I really, really enjoyed myself, and there it was, my new ninja t-shirt and my new pair of jeans, and I was just so happy, and yeah, I came like, yeah, celebrating, you know, New Year's, and there it was. And I started, this week, started doing the Billy Blanks workout, and I go, wow, I really like this. And it says, I feel like it's working for me. So it's something that I'm going to do for myself. So if I ever get Billy Blanks on my show, boy, am I going to talk about the workout? I mean, I would have to say, Billy Blanks, thank you so much. I mean, if you ever listen to my show, thank you so much. You just helped me out, and it's just like a little tiny thing with working out, but it's made me feel so good. And I think for me personally, especially as if I'm going to do a ninja and a samurai film, and even if I have those people there, I got to know I have to be the best I can be. And not just for a film that I'm working on where anybody can check out Falcare, with not just me, but everyone can check it out. You go to Falcare. I'll spell it for you because I do talk kind of funny with the Bostonian accent. Go to the page, Falcyyr. You see all the actors, Director Z, man that I call my big brother. And I have to give thanks to him. So if you want to check him out, you know, go right ahead. Everything he does. He's also, you know, he also makes music, and he doesn't own Auto-Tune, whatever it's like. He is a real musician. So check everybody out that's associated with that page. So that's something you can actually check out and be interested in and see everything that they're doing. Even stuff when I'm not even involved in Falcy, you can see what everybody's doing there on the page and check it out. So I've been part of that, but I never thought I'd be doing any of this. Honest to God, I swear to God, I will put down my nunchucks if I'm lying, because I never thought I'd be doing any of this. You know, so, for you know, my whole point, because I sometimes ramble on when I don't have, you know, a guest on my show, I just keep rambling on because I know it's the holidays and it's the first of the year and everybody's, you know, celebrating and stuff. So it's something that I plan on having really great guests. I am trying to, once again, get Michael Dudikoff, which he's from American Ninja. You know, he's been actually doing things here and there for over the past years. He actually has a website you can actually go check out. So he's someone in the works. There's other people, my ninja pal, Stephen Lambert, that I've been talking about. He's going to be a future guest. Other people, too, that I'm actually trying to get my show. So once again, just give me a little time because I always want to make sure it's not at the last minute. I want to give people a couple days of advance and promote them. I don't think I'm a promoter per se, but I like to talk. And people that don't have the passion, you know, even models and such, you know, I will support people. And I don't think people can quite understand about me on Facebook because it's really hard. I'm kind of like, sometimes I'm kind of like a tech card when it comes to certain things. So I think my radio show helps to give me a little bit of advantage to let people know more about me. If I was ever to do a TV show or if my radio show gets syndicated, you know, it's something that maybe I'll do something, you know, on a TV show. I mean, so now this is really great. I think this is about my number show. This is, I think I'm now up to 145 radio shows that I'm doing now. Because the first year I kept doing so many of them, and then I was like, thinking maybe I should just do two a week, which is Sundays at noon standard Eastern time, 12 p.m. standard Eastern time on noon, and usually Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. standard Eastern time. So I try to have those times and make sure it's the same time. So maybe that's why I did so many within the first year. But once again, I'm just so very blessed with people that have been on my show. Keith Vitale, he's been on my show. Think of other people, and you can go check out all my shows. And I'm trying to also convert my radio shows and to put it on YouTube because I know sometimes people like to go to YouTube. And once again, like I said, I'm a little bit of a tech tart here. I'm learning as I go. I do everything by myself. You know, it's not like I have an assistant right now. So I'm learning as I go, and I'm trying to figure out how to convert my radio shows to YouTube. And they actually have, you know, a program on YouTube where you can do that. The thing is, it has to be a certain thing like points, WMB or whatever it is, and you have to convert them over. So I was like, okay. So then they says you have to do Movie Maker, and that's what I did. You have to convert and stuff. The thing is, I don't know what else. There's some missing step that I'm not doing right, which I will find out because once I find out what it is, then I can convert it over because the first one I was doing was the first stuntman, the guy that I mentioned before that fought Jet Li, and he interviewed Jackie Chan. Johnny Crane was one of the first stunt guys on my show. So I figured he should be the first, that show that I did with him as my guest, I should put that as the first one on my YouTube channel. So when I went to do it, and it was all set with the picture of him, like, hitting Jet Li, it only did the first 2 minutes. And I'm sitting here, it was like a two-hour show, and it says 2 minutes. And it says there's a step that I'm missing when I'm not doing something right. So I'm like, I will find out what it is. And I'm a lot slower than most people, which I'm not going to like. I'm trying to learn for myself because I'm a work in progress. I'm sometimes a fine mess, let me tell you. But I am a work in progress. And I will try my hardest to try to learn. Somebody can learn something within, like, one time. For me to learn something, it'll take me 100 to 200 times. So I'm a little bit slower, but it's not a weakness because once I get something and understand it, I'll grasp it, and I'll be able to keep doing it. And it is frustrating because I feel like I want to bang my head up against the wall when I'm trying to learn, and it gets so frustrating, and I have this blockage. But I'm realizing, well, you just have to go over that wall. Go through that brick wall or either go over it, you know, to learn. And before, I would let little tiny things frustrate me. So one thing was that also I sabotage myself when I get an opportunity to do many things. And I'm like, I want to do this. I want to do that. I get so excited. All my energy is going all out that the one thing that I should really be doing at that moment, I get so overwhelmed and I sabotage myself and I get so tired. So I'm thinking, when I got an idea, which is very simple, another guest on my show, once again, was Douglas Wong, and he says, make a list of what you got to do. So that did help me, and that stuck in my head. And I think when people tell me little tiny simple things, I get it, and it's kind of like, if people talk to me, I will get things. I will definitely get things. And if people are yelling at me, it's kind of like, how can I say, it's like I'm a wolf, okay? And a wolf is really a wild creature. And with a wolf, you ever see it when they get all really nasty or anything, like a tiger and stuff, they're very playful. But you back something into a corner, what is a wild animal going to do? It's going to fight. So most of my life, people have backed me into a corner, and I'm kind of like, I'll be like in someone's face. Now, the people, the teachers that understand this, you know, like I said, my ninja pals and all the dragons that have come in my life, I think they understand this. And when they sit there and they talk to me, I'm like, okay, I get that. And it's like, it makes me feel really good when I get something. And like, maybe it's maybe it's a tiny little thing, but it helps me in the long run. So I'm learning about stuff myself. And I always tell people, you know, when people ask me, well, how do you get in the entertainment business? Because I think people think that you have to look a certain way. And I know with me, what I've been doing for the past 10 years is overcoming, because I've always wanted to play the pretty girl. Okay, I don't think I'm ugly or not, but mostly when pretty girls are cast, I've never been casted as the pretty girl. And people say, don't take this personally, it's just business. The thing is, I'm thinking is like, okay, now, I think what people have to do is, if you have something in your heart and you want to do something, you got to find out what works for you. And it says, okay, well, maybe I won't be casted ever as the pretty girl. But the thing that I love, which most of the fan, like I've always said before, I grew up with the geeks and the nerds. That's what I've always grown up for. I've had bullies. I used to get beat up so much when I was like, I look back and laugh on this now. I had girl bullies and boy bullies, and I used to get the crap kicked out of me. And it's just so funny that I look back on it now. It's like, man, if I went back in time, I think I would have scared my bullies. I look at it now. It's like, now it's kind of like, it's just like I just laugh at things now when I was like little. So, you know, I try to tell people and I try to give them a little bit of advice and things like people that I've associated with in the business. I've actually primed people that actually have real casting agencies. And people say, you always got to have these fees and stuff like that. And I'm like, what are you people talking about? I belong to casting agencies and I never paid any money whatsoever. And, I mean, if you want to get, you know, someone that represents you or something like that, yeah, you might have to pay, you know, a scout or what's that? I can't think of the name of it. They become like, man, I can't think of the name of it, but you pay them 10%. Man, I got a brain fart in my head right now. You know, they help you out, whatever, and I think it's past my bedtime. But, you know, a couple of companies where I looked into, like, because I've lived on the East Coast in Boston, and there's a lot of filming that was going on in Boston at the time, bostoncasting.com, and it's Boston, bostoncasting.com. You can sign up for it, and there's one that says Agency Go, Pro Go. It's the one that you would pay for, but I've never paid for anything. You can have a file on there. You can only put so much about yourself, but I will get the emails. I still, even though I don't live in Boston anymore, I get from all the, you know, the movies that go through Boston, I still get the emails, and it's like, even though extra work and sometimes there's some things, stand-in and other things, I still get the emails from. And then also, a woman that I met personally, she's a wonderful, wonderful woman. Her name is Jody Purdy, J-O-D-I Purdy, P-U-R-D-Y. Very sweet woman. And I'm like, this woman, I saw she has a photographic memory of people. And she was, you know, she's a wonderful inspiration to me, and she's cast so many people, and she has a casting company called South Shore Casting, and I've signed up for that, and there's actually a production thing on Facebook where there's up to now, we have up to 14,000 people in part of the group, and I think it's up to 14,000 people in it, and it's something where you can network and such, and it's like little tiny things like this, you can get into acting, and I'm realizing that, you know, there's many different roles out there for films, you know, not just the beautiful, size zero, perfect beauty queen, there's many other characters. So I've always played crazy characters, and I've sworn, like, truck drivers and stuff, and it scared the crap out of people. And I think it freaks people out, you know, when a woman does the things that, like, Robert De Niro or Joe Pesci and do those things, and people get freaked out when a woman does it. Well, perfectly honestly, I mean, my radio show, do I really talk like a truck driver? I talk like a spaz. But it's something that, you know, I don't sit here and, you know, swear left and right. It was just a film I did on this thing called Inventory, and it's just so funny because they took my love for Jackie Chan and wrote it into my character where I kept saying, I don't want to be called Maria. I want to be called Jackie like Jackie Chan. And the whole character, I swore like every other word was a swear mouth. And working off of someone, I felt so bad afterwards. I wanted to cry because I went off on these guys. And I was like, you know, getting mad on set, I felt so bad. I'm like, no, Shelley, that's acting. And I was like, well, I can play that strong lead of a character, and I can do that on set. I proved that to myself. And I says, well, I can do that. But there's other things that I want to do and give leads to myself, and it's realized, well, I'm going to have to start doing my own films. And I've been networking with people for 10 years. And I know it's like, I know people saying you have to get investors and stuff, but with networking and such, what I was doing, like this is my Ninja Samurai film. I'm going to write it. I'm getting someone to write it in screenplay form. And someone said they're going to actually help me to package it, you know, to show to, you know, investors, especially with named people, which I know I can get. But the realization is, you know, you got to pay the actors. And that's the thing. That's the thing you got to do. That's the reality they want to get paid. And I totally understand it. It's the business thing. But I think it's like, have the heart to do what you love. I think you got to learn in your own way. And I always tell people, you know, that are starting out, you just got to find people that are like yourselves. You know, what's the saying go? Like, birds of a feather flock together. And for me personally, I think within the last, especially in the last couple months, I've been looking with people that have much more experience than me. And I keep asking the universe to keep bringing more dragons in. And the weirdest thing is, I swear to God, I says, can you bring me some ninjas, universe? Can you bring me some dragons? And that's when, like, Stephen Lambert, the guy that's my ninja bell, he came into my life, and I'm like, oh, the universe, listen. And I'm going, universe, can you bring me some dragons? Not kidding, not Dragon Wilson. I'm like, oh, my God. It's like the universe is listening to me. And I'm just like, man, I'm just going to focus on being positive because the universe is like saying to me now, well, Shelley, here is everything you want. You've been asking for it. Here it is. And I just have to focus on it. I mean, there's other things I want to do. I wrote a children's book, a ferret book, and it's about, you know, a little ferret trying to get a name and looking for a mom, which is based kind of on a true story where in my life, how I get a pet, they just, you know, show up, whether I say, hey, you want some food or something like that. But I'm not kidding. A ferret came to me in the city of Boston. It ran up to me through traffic, and it stood up and raised its paw. Not thinking this thing could have rabies, I pick it up. Next thing I know, I have a ferret. And at the time, ferrets were illegal in Massachusetts. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, my dear God, what am I going to do? So there was nothing in the stores, in the pet stores at the time, there was nothing really about ferrets. So I learned you can take care of it, and, you know, you clean out its ears and stuff, and it got attached to me, and it passed away. But the fact that, you know, taking that idea and turning into a kid's story, it's something that I did, and I did it on bookmon.com, B-O-K-K, I think it's E-M-O-N.com, and you can do the story, and you can get the pictures, and you can make a book off of that, and then you can have them printed out. Now, as far as selling them, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't know how, like, I'm trying to focus on things, but I did write a children's book, and so, like, right now, I'm really have to concentrate on doing my Ninja Samurai film. I mean, there's so many other things I've done, but I got to remember to be focused and on point of what really matters right now. And thinking, too, I didn't forget about my short film that I wrote 6 years ago, The Dishwasher, where I'm going to play a dishwasher, and I've got a director and stuff. It just cost $500 to do this film, but, you know, I'm supporting myself. I pay him roof over my head. It's not like I pay anything for myself or anything like that. I just, getting $500 for now, it does feel like $1 million. I'm not giving up on my short film. I was like, okay, there's something that I can do right now, which is the bigger film. And I guess sometimes in your path, things kind of work out different, and I'm like, okay, I think I really got to do this film first and then do my short film. Now, the short film itself, it's going to go into film festivals, but I think I have a couple things going for myself, and, you know, you got to work what goes for yourself. I know there's a lot of film festivals for women, and the short film, The Dishwasher, it's something that it has action, it has comedy. It's only like a 6-page thing, but it has the fight scene stuff. And, you know, I have people that directors saying, Veripath, you know, from Boston, he said he'll actually film it himself, and the budget is $500. And I know I can work. I can really, you know, do it good because I'll actually have my my lead actor, Anthony Hong, he actually went to stunt school. He actually was in the, I think, Bonham and Bailey's circus, and he was a circus clown. I'm not kidding. I'm not making a joke. But Anthony, my lead guy, he really was the circus clown, and he played a kung fu clown in the circus. So he's a young guy that went to stunt school, so he's going to be one of my lead guys. And I know that for me personally, because I got to put my hands into people I'm going to trust. And I know people are saying, Shelley, be very careful. Be very, very careful when you're doing a film in action so you don't get yourself killed. So for me personally, with certain things, I have ideas of what someone's going to look like. But because I don't want really that many stunt doubles, I want the actors to be doing the stunts. I want the people that have the most experience. I mean, they might have to look a certain way, but it's an idea in my head. It's not going to be based on someone like, have to be so perfect in a way where some movies have been cast where I've never had a chance to work in films because of what I look like. And it's kind of like, I could sit there and try to get money to spend on plastic surgery. Because there's things I'm like, perfectly honestly, I don't know who's ever like 100% set with their body, what you look like. Because there's things that I don't like about my body, which I can improve in working out. There's other things that I'm going, there's things in my body that's not giving me cancer. And I'm like, that's what I've kind of accept certain things as well. Not giving me cancer, not doing that, is just accepting me the way I am. And, we're not going to be perfect to everyone. There's going to be people in life that are going to accept us and not going to accept us. That's the reality of it. So I feel the ones that accept me for who I am, where, like I said, I grew up upon the nerds and the geeks. That was just my realm of growing up. And we played years ago Dungeons and Dragons and all these things, and that was people that I grew up. I loved comics, and I loved, I was watching Japanese animations in the 70s and 80s. It was Star Blazers, G-Force, and it's Battle of the Planets. So, I mean, those things. I grew up watching, like, Incredible Hulk, Dukes of Hazzard, Knight Rider, all those things. And I was like, I used to hate Barbie dolls. I swear to God, I used to tie up Barbie dolls. I used to rip the clothes off and tie up the Barbie dolls. It sounds sadistic, but I used to hate Barbie dolls. I mean, I had a couple of them, but some of them, for some reason, Barbie dolls irked me when I was younger, and I used to tie them up, and I used to, like, hang them up, and I just wanted to, like, I said, these things are not real. There's no one that should look like that. And they used to get me so aggravated, Barbie dolls. I don't know why, as a kid, thinking of this about Barbie dolls, where I just want to rip their heads off. For some reason, I go, I don't look like this Barbie doll, and here I am. And on the stores, they had a very limited selection when I was growing up in the 70s, 80s about certain dolls. I go, this doll does not look at me. Why am I playing with this doll? Pretending. I know it's pretending, but I didn't like that. So I got into G.I. Joe's, and I loved Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes. I really loved them, and it's like I used to, like, I really enjoyed playing with ninjas. I'm not kidding. It sounds kind of crazy, but, I mean, I don't know why we're, like, programmed in society, especially in America, where a girl has to play with a doll and a Barbie and a boy has to play with trucks and such. And then it's like this whole other thing where people, they're going to go and think, and I think people get freaked out because of some things with the weapons and stuff. I try not to bring up, certain things. I try to stay positive. People have called me names, and I'm, like, sitting there going, they've called me dyke, and they've called me gay, and I'm going, really, that's what I really give off? I'm going, no, if I like girls, I mean, maybe it might be a great thing, but, I've always liked guys. The thing is, I grew up around guys. I get along well with men. This is the reality. And it's like now I'm still slowly starting to find women out there that can relate to me and, like, I can relate to them. And there's a lot of stunt women out there that are wonderful. And guess what? Just because a woman's a stunt woman or an action figure, it doesn't mean she's not naturally going to like girls, because most of the girls that are, I call my warrior sisters, they're either married to men or they have boyfriends. Because it's like, I'm like, I don't know where people get these perceptions sometimes. And even in my life, I had perceptions about people, but sitting there and actually, like, learning about them, I go, wow, my perception of some people is so wrong. So even in my own life, so I try to have patience, but now it's kind of like you have the shell, because it's like people think, well, does it really bother you what people say? And if it really bothered me what people say about me, I wouldn't be on the internet. I would have shut down my Facebook account, my Twitter account, and would have run and just, like, and I can't do that. just because people say things about you and stuff, especially if you want to get in the entertainment business. You just got to realize that people say about stuff that you on the internet, don't just like laugh. Because they're not in your life. You know, you get up out of bed, you go to work. Who's there in your life? Do you know what I'm saying? That's what really matters, because the internet, it's all a big drama thing. And I try to tell people that are close to me, I says, just call me. I mean, that's what really matters. It's like one-on-one contact, because I think the art of communication is slowly dying off in the technology age. And I'm kind of a tech tard, and I get frustrated, and I tell people who I will text on the phone, can you please call me? I can't explain in the text. And they're like, oh, I can't really pick up the phone. So I can't explain to people on Facebook or in a text as well as I want to, and people will think I'm mad, and it's like, well, what do you mean? And it's like, I can't explain in words. And I tell people, look, call me, you know, or even Skype with me or something so I can explain things. So people get more and more mad because they don't want to pick up the phone, even though I just text someone, which drives me crazy. I mean, I can understand when you're on a set or if you're working and you can't talk to someone and you send them a text. That's understandable. I get that. But if you're home, you're home. Or if you're someone's like, you know, sitting on the toilet or something, you're sitting there talking to them, and it says, all right, give me a minute, I'll call you. And they're like, we're texting back and forth. What happened to communication to pick up the phone and talking one-on-one? And that's my biggest problem. So I've learned I got to find people that are really going to understand me more. Even if you listen to my radio show, I'm going on rambling on, and I don't even know if half the time people out there are really listening to me sometimes. Maybe they are. I mean, sometimes with guests, when I have certain guests on my show, people enjoy that. So I know I have something to give to people, oh my God, because it's showing the passion, but it's also having the love for the stunt community, which I've been doing for the whole month of December, is to help to raise money for the Hollywood Stuntmen's Hall of Fame. And you know, little old me, Shelly Nunchucks from the inner cities of Boston, funny talking Shelly, like Vin Diesel and Sylvester Stallone. I'm actually a board of advisor on the Hollywood Stuntmen's Hall of Fame, and I'm like, I'm very humbled and honored that they asked me to be this, and I'm sitting here going, really, I'm really proud of this? So the whole month of December, I was trying to, you know, help to raise money for the Hollywood Stuntmen's Hall of Fame. Now, I don't know how much money I helped to raise, but it's something that I really, really, from the bottom of my heart, I hope you can hear in my voice, because I don't know how well I work writing on the internet, but for me, the stunt people, the martial arts, the people in the filming, the stunt people, I love them so much. And I'm being very sincere right now, and I'm being very honest, and I'm trying to give my heart here of being honest on the radio show live on the air, that I would love to see the museum reopen. And I know that the founding father, John G. Hagner, he resides in Moab, Utah. And the reason why I want to see it reopened in Utah is because, you know, let's be real here. John is 85 years old. It took him 65 years to gather all the memorabilia. All this stuff is in storage. There's so much from the stunt world, you know, from the past stunt world there. And to see this reopen, and it's like coming on board where I'm the present and hoping, you know, for future generations of the stunt world to see this museum, to see it reopen, and just to see John's dream come true. And I just don't know. I really don't know, you know, I wish people would give. I really, really, I don't have money. I don't have tons of money, but it's not a want, it's a necessity. It's for the community. It's for the stunt film community to preserve stuff like you wouldn't believe, like, you know, it's weapons and costumes and films and such in this museum. And that's why the whole month of December, I tried so hard, so very hard. But I don't know. Maybe people just don't care. And I almost feel like crying because maybe what I say doesn't matter. I don't know, and I'm trying from the bottom of my heart so much, because when I see all these people that I grew up watching, and I see all these stunt people out there now doing films, you know, putting their lives online for the sake of art, entertain people in the, you know, in the films, and you know right offhand with the stars that are really popular. I mean, even though, like, I'm not a Twilight, you know, person, wasn't ever into that, even the people, come on, you know, I mean, come on, Edward the Vampire, that guy, you're going to tell me in real life he can really fight like that? But my whole point is, to stunt people that even worked on something like that. Then but whatever that girl and guy is, the girl that's kind of grumpy all the time, you know, whatever her name is, Bella or whatever her name is, because she does all the roles where she's really grumpy. I mean, that's her thing. You know, but really think about it. The stunt people that even were on that film playing the wolves and everything like that, you know, they made those people look good. To me personally, I think the stunt people, they just deserve something that's worthwhile to keep and preserve the stunt community. And I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that thinks like this. I don't know. I'm not really sure, but, I mean, well, people like in the ninja world, in the stunt world, I think they do. They just, I mean, they probably want it, but I don't know. I tried the whole month. I really, really tried the best that I could. I tried to promote the best I could. You know, now I know how Twitter works. I'm finally catching up with that. Like I said, I'm a tech tard, and I finally, you know, found out how it works. So now you can follow people. Now I get like two or three people on my Twitter account, and they're, you know, I'm like, oh, this is cool. So now I can follow people back, and you can kind of have a conversation on Twitter. I don't know how long Twitter's been out, but I just found this in the last couple months. And the thing that I knew about Twitter, you can't do over 1,000 tweets in one day. It shuts your Twitter account down. I'm like, oh. And what I was doing is a film brother of mine, Jay Giannone, he had all this stuff going, so he wanted to get like 10,000 people, so I was going retweet, 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 and I was doing all the people that were on there, excuse me, and the funny thing is I shut down my Twitter account, and it said that you can't do over 1,000 tweets. So I learned the hard way I shut down my Twitter account. Only me here, only me. Wow, I didn't expect to do my show this long, so I was like, I actually did it a half hour over the time I wanted to do. And I'm just, like I said, I'm going to get people for my show. It's a lineup, and this was the holiday season, so it was the time of giving, so I tried my best. And I pray, and I hope the universe is, you know, hearing me out there for so much. I really am trying, and I've been trying to be good and such and just being focused and being positive. And, you know, sometimes it's hard, but I always get back on track. And I'm trying. I'm going to focus on my film, the Ninja and the Samurai film. And I know, I think it would be kind of nice, a couple other things, too, you know, with animals, once again, with the tigers, where I came on board for the WWF on that to help save tigers. I'd like to see a reservation, another one, you know, going for the tigers to help save them. Because I pretty much know, I love tigers and such, but let's be real, a tiger is a wild animal. I'll never own one. I already have a cat. She acts like a ninja, and she's being very, very good right now, and I appreciate it. Good kitty. Nice kitty. Being good kitty. Which I happen to name Jackie Chan. That's my cat's name. Go figure. She's a ninja kitty. So, once again, I'm getting I am going to get some guests for my show, and probably mostly be in the stunt world. Once again, I'm trying very hard to get Michael Dudikoff. My ninja pal, Stephen Lambert, is going to be on my show, and you can see all, you can go to Blog Talk Radio, and actually you can look up people that have been on my show, Johnny Crane, Keith Vitale, Cheryl Wheeler Duncan, Melissa Tracy, Johnny Crane, who else has been on my show, Jonathan Hiroshi Wilson, which was Don Wilson's son. He was on my show, and Don Wilson actually, he was on my, he actually called in, and it was just so funny. It was very sweet. Oh, gosh, I have people in my chat room. Whoa, I'm sorry. I had a couple things up. I was looking at everyone. Oh, thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Thank you. Everyone that's been in my chat room, I haven't been ignoring you. I told you I'm kind of a tech tard, so I'm kind of like trying to do the best I can, because I was looking up tigers as I was speaking, because I run everything myself, and usually the cat's attacking me when I'm trying to do the show, but she's doing very good. And I'm running back and forth looking at my Facebook page here, trying to look up stuff, what I post, because I also try to go over things that I post on my show and help prop, you know, give some props. Dawn the Dragon Wilson, who actually has a company called Traditions. And anybody, you guys got to check it out. If you go to my Facebook page, you can look up traditions, and it is Don the Dragon Wilson, his company himself. And once again, if you don't know who Don Wilson is, you really got to look this man up. He's done over 30 films. He's an action person. He's an international kickbox champion. He's been in the Guinness Book of World Records for 11 times. So they sent me 3 T-shirts from Traditions, and I'll be doing a photo shoot in them. And it's just a regular photo shoot, just being part of the Traditions family and, you know, communicating with Don. It's kind of like, you know, I'm just very happy, very thankful to be able to do that. And, you know, I give him so much respect. And I think Don now is 59 years old, and I swear to God, I can see this man as a samurai. It's just something that I just pictured that, and I tried to do the best I could with the programs that I had and took Don's face and put it on a samurai costume. And he got kind of excited about it. So I was like, well, I guess Don Wilson wants to be a samurai. So once again, Team Samurai is going to be Don Wilson and Jonathan Hiroshi Wilson, who's actually part of the management team for Traditions, you know, from that company there. It's something that I feel very blessed, fairly honored to be able to do a photo shoot and represent Traditions in my own way. And it's to show, you know, because I love dragons. I've always, always loved dragons. I even have a small dragon tattoo on the back and of my back. It's just a small, cute one. It's dedicated to Bruce Lee. I've always liked dragons. You know, call me a freak or whatever you will, but I've always, always loved dragons, and just something I've been drawn to. My totem is not a dragon. It's not a dragon. I mean, a lot of people, they can think what they want, whatever things. Even though I like dragons, it doesn't mean my totem is a dragon. I've just always, always loved dragons. So there was one of the most influential dragons in history. Here I am communicating with Don the Dragon Wilson. I'm sitting there going, it's just really, 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 like, real. And I'm just, it's kind of this, like, flawed. But then in reality, all the actors, all the people, all the stunt people, all the big names, in reality, they're just human beings. They become successful in their own way. And that's what, you know, something that I want to do myself. I want to become successful in my own way. And I think I am doing that. It's slow. And I've been networking for 10 years. This is not something, all the people that are coming into my life, this is not something done overnight. I've been doing networking for 10 years and overcoming everything, because people always tell me, I can't do this and I can't do that. I've got this funny accent. I don't look pretty enough. I don't do this. And it's like, if I listen to everybody that told me, no, 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 I can't do something, I may as well just never get out of bed. I may as well just go cry in the shower, in the bottom of my shower. And let me tell you, my shower doesn't even have a tub. I have not taken a tub in 4 years. And it's kind of like, man, do I miss a tub. I hope my next house has a tub, and I'm going to take a five-hour bath. I swear to God, I'm going to take a five-hour bath in the next house I have that has that. And I swear to God, I hope to dear God I'm in a warmer place the next year, because I swear to God there are polar bears and there's penguins walking around outside, and we're going to be getting more snow. Oh, happy day we're getting more snow. I'm just like, man, we just got rid of snow and we're getting more snow. I know it's the winter, and I got to tell you something. When people tell me, you've lived in New England your whole life and you should be used to it. No, I'm not used to being stuck in a house, because I don't have, you know, have a car. And back home in Boston, I could go everywhere. In Maine, where I live, there's no way I can get around without a car. So it's kind of like, you know, for now, I got to do what I got to do. And I'm sitting here, I'm not kidding, I've got the heater on and I've got the stove on. That's how cold it is. I mean, the house that I'm living in, the insulation was all done for the basement. But I swear to God, I don't feel any warmer. It's sitting here, so I'm like, well, it's freezing in the house, but I don't feel the wind, so I guess I'm kind of warm right now, and trying to do everything, like I says, to my best ability here. I'm trying to look at a couple other things as I'm, like, speaking to everyone, and one of my favorite things to do is actually sleep. I don't know how everybody else, you know, with their life, but I like taking naps. I know I'm going to sound like a cruddy old lady or something like that, but I'm just someone that loves to cuddle up and take naps. You know, it's just a wonderful thing. Sleep is good. I like to sleep. And I'm sitting here trying to, like, make sure the cat isn't actually eating anything that she's not supposed to be eating, because she likes to do that. And You know, it's about that time. What time is it? Oh, wow. I was just going to do a half-hour show tonight because I didn't have any guests on my show. And I think it's actually, let's see, what time is it right now? Oh, it's 10:15. Seriously? Wow. January 1st, 2014. You know what it is, too? Another thing, too, that I'm so super pumped about and I can't wait, it's the year of the horse, which I'm very, very excited for. And you know who is a horse? Is Jackie Chan. Yes, people. The man, Jackie Chan. I've got to tell you, I heard that his mother was pregnant with him for 12 months. So, yes, he is a horse. So this is the year. This is going to be a good year for him. And I feel very blessed because for me, myself, I get to celebrate quite a few holidays. And I am so super pumped because I'm going to have to get to celebrate Chinese New Year, which is January 30th. And I think I gained 15 pounds in one day. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing because I'm able to watch a lot of great Asian action films that day. And sometimes what they do, they make great films just for that day for Chinese New Year. And the really cool thing is at the end of the films, you see the cast and they wish everyone, you know, happy Chinese New Year. And I think I can actually say it right because I said it, learned how to say it last year in Chinese let's see if I can say this right now. Gong Hei Fa Choi. That means Happy Chinese New Year. But I know the thing is, too, in China, there's many different dialects. There's Mandarin, Chinese, Mandarin and Cantonese, and just sitting here going, oh, my dear God, which one did I just say? Did I just mix it up? I just say Gong Hei Fa Choi. So I know that means Happy Chinese New Year. So I'd like a little bit learning. I think I learned how to say thank you from a Jackie Chan film, Rush Hour, from a little girl, Shishe, which means thank you. And maybe someday I can actually learn Chinese. It's not impossible, but the funny thing is I do have a funky Boston accent, so I don't even know how I would sound speaking another language, because if I have that tone of a Bostonian accent, can you imagine me learning another language with the Bostonian accent? I probably try to say that, and I was like, man, you know, I try very, very hard to learn, you know, be respectful. I'm very respectful to other cultures and stuff. I got to tell you something, though. When I was training capoeira back home in Boston for a couple years, it's taught in Portuguese. Okay, now, there I was, just picture me. You know, how they say the shoe's on the other foot. The capoeira was taught in Portuguese, and so here I am in the middle of the class, you know, going the opposite way of the whole class, and not knowing what I'm doing, trying to learn the moves when you do the warm-up and stuff, you know, when you're doing the Jenga and all these other things, and it's on Portuguese. Well, there I am going around, you know, saying pica to one of my fellow capoeiras, and I had no clue what that meant, and I'm thinking Pikachu, because Pokemon was very popular, like really, really popular at the time, and it was like this guy, Paulo, who was actually was a friend of mine at the time, and I kept calling him Pika. So people are like laughing at me, and I'm like, okay, I think they're meaning Pokemon, but I didn't know at the time, but Pika means men's penis. And when I was saying that, I had no clue I was saying that. So it's like you're trying to like learn, you know, things where it's kind of like innocent. And the word, you know, sword, like when people were getting the knife and stuff, and I don't really swear on my show here, but just to let you guys know, I did like a double take when the word sword, you know, in another language, Portuguese, it sounded like the F word. And I'm like listening to these little kids saying the sword, and I'm going, what are you guys saying? I'm like, oh, my God. So it sounded like they were saying the F word. And I'm sitting here going, and it was like realizing that in other countries, sometimes when you're saying something, it can be all innocent, and it does sound like a swear word. And I'm sitting here going, oh, my dear goodness. You know, so when we're saying things and, like, listening to other languages, and it's really cute, like, even listening to the Bollywood films, I watch Bollywood films on and off, and they say these cute phrases that here in America, when we're speaking English, and they say these wonderful little cute phrases that they take, and sometimes the words are switched, and it's beautiful, you know, how they say our English language. which is really a wonderful thing. When you take the time and you learn, like I says, people out there, if you're not interested in listening to subtitles, you know, I mean films with the subtitles, you're missing out on these beautiful, wonderful films, because mostly Bollywood, how the films work, it's happy, 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 disaster, and then happy. I mean, there's some dramatic Bollywood films, but major things about Bollywood films is everyone's so happy and in love, someone dies or some tragedy, and then everyone's happy again. And it has all this wonderful dancing and all this beautiful, 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 beautiful scenery and beautiful, you know, the costumes are so unbelievable, and you just, like, fall in love with them. And it made me fall back into theater, like in love with theater, because when I was younger and I saw, when I was 21 years old, and I saw one of my first plays, I think it was 2021, and I actually saw Phantom of the Opera in the Wang Theater. And it was such a beautiful play. And I started getting into plays and stuff. And in my early 20s, I wanted to get into acting. And it wasn't really that much of an opportunity, you know, back then. And I was actually living in the inner cities of Boston at the time. I was living in South Boston at the time. And, you know, they just were doing a little bit here and there in Boston in film. It wasn't as big as it is right now. So I was like, man, I wish I could get into acting and just do what those people do and stuff. And it's like, here I am, you know, in my 40s, and I'm doing acting now. It's 20 years later. I mean, even though my training in acting, the funny thing is, I got thrown into dinner theater. And there I was, you know, I first did Joey and Maria's Italian Comedy Wedding and did that for a little while, and I'm playing a big-haired bridesmaid, and you get paid $25 an hour to act. I've never had any, like, really acting lessons or anything, and I'm just going with it. And you have live audience members. And even at the shows, you know, when people are celebrating, some people get drunk. And this was, like, before I started training in a little bit of martial arts. And you kind of, like, you have to stay in character. Even when you're in character and you're going in the bathroom with some people, they go out smoking a cigarette, you have to stay in character. So there it was, you know, making $25 an hour, doing dinner theater, never having any acting services. Hey, this isn't too bad. So then it's like I joined another dinner theater group afterwards called Clatterbang, and I became an original cast member, Mia Midori, in that one, and it was just a wonderful feeling. Is like when you're doing a show, you know, it isn't the fact you're getting paid $25 an hour. It's the fact is when you're actually doing the dinner theater show, and it's not really scripted. I mean, it's a little bit, has the little bit of the wedding thing, and you're doing the little wedding, you know, little story, and then it's like you just go off and be your own character. When people come into the shows, because we had people write in, you know, they were having bad days, they come to see and you entertain, and you make someone laugh. And there was this woman, I think I found in my email, it was back, I don't know, it was a few years back when I was doing it, and she had said that, you know, her birthday was coming, her husband was dying. And she said that, you know, her husband told her to go and celebrate her birthday, and her husband passed, and she went to see our show. So then it's like she had such a wonderful time, she came back and brought her son. And no one, we didn't know this, you know, and it's something that she wrote to our company that she had such a wonderful time. So when we're getting, like, you know, things from people, from the audience members, and telling us, well, I have something I can give to make people happy. As much as I'm a spaz and stuff like that, like I said, it's very hard for me to communicate on Facebook because I'm always on there and I'm always, always constantly on Facebook. And I tell people, you know I'm overloading my Facebook page. I mean, I try not to post too much on other people's pages. But I says, you know, if my stuff is too much, hide my status. You can still be my friend. Just come to my Facebook page when you want. And I told Janet, it's not like I'm not going to cry because I'm as high as my status, but it's stuff that I do because now it's like I seem to get new people on my account every now and then, and I repost, and people are like, why are you reposting stuff? I said, because it's a lot easier for me to repost stuff on my wall, and I'm not overloading other people's Facebook page because I was doing that for a while, and I think people got aggravated, and I didn't really know that. I was just thinking, oh, look at this. This is awesome. So I do stuff on my own Facebook page, and I tell people, you can hide my status. Then you can come back to my Facebook page. Check everything else that I'm doing. And now I have my Facebook page hooked up to my Twitter account, and now it's kind of like my Twitter account is growing. People actually click and follow me, and I go, okay, So now that I know what I'm doing, I can follow people back. And I didn't know how Twitter worked. I said, oh, this is really great. So anybody that follows me, I can go to their account and I click follow. So I was like, I get it. And you can reply to it. You can retweet and so much stuff. I mean, this technology is a beautiful, wonderful thing. But in the meantime, it's kind of like negative in a way because the art of communication, I says, once again, is, you know, lost on the Internet. And I tell people it's always best to try to call me. And if someone knows me, like really, really knows me, and they read something on Facebook and they get mad, it's like, okay, you know me. You should call me and say, hey, why don't we talk about this on person or what video chat about that? It's kind of really crazy if you really think about it. And it's like anything on the Internet, never take anything personally. And anyway, so I guess it's about that time. I should be able to hit the hay. Cat's all ready and curled up, and she's ready for night-night. I'm ready for night-night, too. January 1st, it's already here and almost gone. Can you believe that? 2014? Man, I was just getting used to 2013. Man, oh, man, what the heck? 2014? Where does the time go? 2013, rest in peace, 2014. Let's see. Everybody's getting all pumped up for this. I wish everybody out there, you know, the very, very best. If you have dreams, whatever it is, I hope you all become successful. You know, I'm not going to be jealous of people, whatever they do. I'm going to wish you all much success because when you wish people success, you know, karma does come around. And hoping for the best for people, it does come back for you. I'm like, hey, do what you do. You do you. I'll do me. I don't know if I should say we should do each other because that might lead into another radio show. I don't know. You know, like I said, with my show, I just try to, you know, talk mostly about ninjas, the stunt world, and everything like that. But I'm pooped. I'm going to fall asleep on my own radio show here. So just remember, Sundays at noon are my show, and Wednesday nights at I'm trying to think of my time. This is how I know. I'm so exhausted. I can't even think or, you know, I've got a brain fart again. At 9 p.m. Wednesday nights, I'm going to have great guests. You guys, I'm going to try to get Don the Dragon Wilson on my show. I know he's a very busy man. Michael Dudikoff, my ninja pal, Stephen Lambert, who's worked well on sets with Robert De Niro and many other people. He doubles for James Woods all the time, like a lot. He does many things for James Woods. So I'm going to get Stephen Lambert back on my show because he's been on my show already once. And many people from the stunt world. I've got people even not in the stunt world that are lined up for my show. Just like I like to give them a little bit, you know, a couple days in advance if I'm going to have them on my show. I've had this guy, Bruce Martin, this Warrior Edition, you know, clothing, help out people and self-confidence. And he actually, on that show, Ron Lester, who I will have on my show. And Ron Lester, what was that? Now I'm trying to remember. This is pretty bad when you're trying to promote people. Ron Lester, he lost so much weight. And he played a Varsity Blues with Paul Walker, the guy from, what was that show, Dawson's Creek, the guy with the blonde hair, Ron Lester, was Billy Bob. And he was the big guy who lost, like, 300 pounds. And Ron Lester called him on my show, on Bruce Martin show. So Ron Lester, you know, I've kept in touch with him, and his girlfriend Nicole was on the show with me. So Ron Lester is going to be a future guest. So he's going to be on my show. So many people in the industry business are going to be coming on my show. And like I said, this is not something that's happening overnight for me. This has been 10 years. This has been 10 years in the making where I've been networking, working. Sometimes I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning because everybody's time zone. You know, everybody's, you know, different than mine. It's Eastern Standard Time here, California. You know, that's, you know, a few hours behind me. So sometimes with networking, it's just something that I have to do because, you know, I pay my own bills. I work a full-time job, and that takes up most of my time. So I'm trying to do everything on myself, you know, just keep working. So anybody out there that has a dream, just remember, you're as good as anybody else. And if you check out the film page, Falcyr, F-A-L-C-Y-Y-R, not just me because I'm doing one of the leads, but the other actresses and stuff, we're working really hard. And after last year of all of us, we were in the snow up to our knees. We're playing Valkyrie. We trained you know, lifting up trees and rocks and stuff right on there. It was so freezing cold. I was like, it was how it is cold today and yesterday. That's where we were actually filming in this, you know, our costumes. If you look at them, we had nothing covered up on our arms, and it was so cold, just so very cold, you know, filming that. And if you want to check everybody out there, and last weekend, I can't even tell you what they did to me last weekend for green screen. They made me this big monster, and I am allowed to talk about Doug. He said I could. This ice giant, you wouldn't even tell it was me. I don't know if they're going to put a picture on that, but it's something that, you know, you can check everything out. When we were doing Tai Chi on a beach, it was so cold, and people thought it was really warm. I says, no, when you're doing Tai Chi on the beach on the rocks, it was over by four, I think, two lights, where the, what the heck is it called? The, I can't even think of it. The tower, not the tower. Oh, gosh. Oh, thank you. Oh, who's this? Oh, Pablo, new friend. Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to be signing off because I am getting a little bit a little bit tired here. But like I said, I'm going to start talking in circles here. And I just want to say, everybody, thank you for the support in the last year. This is like my 145th show, and I'm praying for syndication because, you know, that for myself would just be very, very happy for, and just keep hanging there. And there's going to be some really, really great actors, some stunt people, and other people in the works coming to my show. So thank you all again, once again. And as I end the show, you'll hear this song. It's called Battle Song. It's by Director Z. His beautiful, lovely wife, Sonari, Pisces Project, called Battle Song, which is actually from the film Falkyr. And it's actually, if you really listen to it, like with music, it sets the mood, you know, for film. So when you hear Battle Song, you're going to hear that, how epic it is, this song is. And that's what it is. We do everything ourselves. We do our own stunts. You know, and they're working so very hard, you know, behind the scenes and everything, like the productions and everything they do. And let me tell you, doing that makeup, I was so big and huge last week, and all that, the stuff stuck to my face and trying to get it off. And I was praying they weren't going to rip my eyebrows off last week. So I was in Ice Giant with just this big, huge thing. All the makeup took over 3 hours to put all the stuff on. And to take it off, I thought I wasn't going to have no eyebrows on Sunday. So anyway, everyone, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart tuning in. Remember, this is a new year. It's the year of the horse, and I'm actually looking forward to January 30th to celebrate Chinese New Year. Everybody, thank you so much for the support from the beginning of the show to now. Thank you to all my dragons, to all my ninjas. And just remember there, anybody that has a dream, you are as good as anybody else. So you go for it. It's just one step at a time. That's all you've got to do. But anyone, everybody else, have a good night tonight, and bless you all. I try.